Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is a podcast extra from On Point. And it's directly related to what we featured in our main show today, the hidden epidemic of traumatic brain injury in survivors of domestic abuse. Given that one in four American women experience domestic violence, and studies show a significant majority of those women experience being hit in the head or strangulation, there are potentially tens of millions of survivors with undiagnosed brain injuries. Their stories are slowly coming to light, and we want to share one with you today. A warning, it contains explicit details of physical abuse. Paula Walters is 48. She's from Ohio, and she was able to escape her abuser. But then Paula spent the next decade in and out of hospitals. She was very sick, but she had no idea why.
I started dating basically someone that I saw at work frequently. He was actually an officer, and I was a paramedic working on the fire department and also in a level one trauma center. We started, you know, seriously dating in the end of 2005, and I had moved in with him in the beginning of 2006. And there was like no red flags, and everybody loved him. There was a lot of jealousy and control, but there wasn't really any hitting until like once I moved in. And people can hide so much when you're just dating. And once you're with somebody so much and you're in their household, then I got to see the alcoholism. Then there was more control. I found out that I had a GPS locator on my car. My phone was being watched. And I knew then that I was in trouble, but I had already given up, like slowly given up control of my money to his accounts. I had given up my house. You know, I was making plans of trying to put some money away and looking for housing and that type of stuff. And in June of 2006, that was the night that changed my life. The ER staff would often go out once a month. Our residents were graduating. We had an ER night out, and one of the docs hugged me. And when we got home, there was hell to pay because we started fighting. He started hitting me, telling me how I embarrassed him and how disrespectful I was. I don't remember a lot of that night, but I remember very vividly him sitting across my hip bones with his knees on my forearms and him putting his hands around my throat. It's almost like when people say your life flashes before your face, all these thoughts. I remember thinking like, this is it. I'm going to die. And a nosy neighbor saved my life. There was a lot of, you know, yelling. Somebody knocked and he stopped. And I ended up going to the ER that night. I thought that was rock bottom. And that was just the start of a downward spiral. You know, up to that point, I was healthy. A part of me died that night, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And it's been a long journey to find her and get her back. Because they're just, you know, that was 2006, so there wasn't a lot to be known about strangulation. They just did a couple x-rays, and I was diagnosed with contusions, you know, basically bruises, and sent home and said, don't continue the relationship and return if you need help. And I even worked in that ER. And it was pretty bad because one of the ER doctors, the first thing he said to me was, He's such a nice guy. What did you do to make him so mad? I did finally get out of that situation. It took me 3 or 4 months. He was manipulating the system. He only got a $500 fine and 1 year probation. He was given a plea bargain for attempted aggravated menacing. He told me that if I kept pushing it, that I would be sorry. And I finally left. I actually moved away not too long after that. I started getting very medically sick. I started having a lot of medical problems after that. So basically over the next 3 years, I racked up 4 or 5 different medical diagnoses and nobody could find out what was wrong. I had multiple ER visits, multiple hospital stays. I even ended up getting flown by Life Flight helicopter to the ER where I worked in because I was having what they thought was anaphylactic reaction. And there was no rhyme or reason for it. And I was going to specialists after specialists after specialists. And nobody could find the origin. They took away my driving privileges. I wasn't allowed to work as a paramedic. In the midst of a year, I lost every part of my life. And because of that, I made an attempt on my life. You know, I thought rock bottom happened in June of 2006. I think I just lived there for probably 11 years.
Paula was at rock bottom. She couldn't understand what was happening to her, and no one could help. That is, until one day, Paula found something online.
I found this Amy Zellmer on Facebook, and she has this TBI support group, and she does a lot with traumatic brain injury. She had a slip on the ice and hit her head, but I was listening to her, all of her symptoms, and I was like, I felt like I was hearing my story. It was basically 2006 when I started having these symptoms to 2017 that nobody put together this brain injury component and did a CT or an MRI. And that just floors me because at that time in 2017, 2018, by the time that I finally got to a neurologist and got the CT and the MRI, I had 14 medical diagnoses and I was on 22 medications. The day that the pieces came together, it was just like, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, how could we miss this? How was that missed? It's crazy. Because I was sharing my story. I started a nonprofit in 2015 talking about domestic violence. Nobody was hitting this headpiece and the brain injury. So it was like this, I just sat there and I was like, how has this been missed? How has this been missed this long? Which is just crazy to me because here I am in 2022 with only one diagnosis and I am med free. I think how many people are out there like me who have tried to take their life or have succeeded because you feel like you feel like something's wrong with you. The doctors, you know, have told me that domestic violence can't do that. Strangulation doesn't do that. Can't cause heart problems and everything. And now we know very much that it can. It can affect every ounce of your body. And I have literally gotten back to where I am without meds, just changing my lifestyle and working on neuroplasticity. And I'm very thankful for the doctors that helped me find that. That was the day that I took some of my power back. He didn't own me anymore. I wasn't sick. I think that when you have something like that where you're left disabled, I wasn't working at that time. When I went out there, I wasn't able to. And they told me I can work again. Like I was that point. I came back and I got back to being a paramedic. I mean, I got my life back. And I can't even explain what that did for me. They gave me my freedom.
That's Paula Walters. Paula is back to being a paramedic. She can drive again and even ran a half marathon last fall. In our main show, we talked in depth about why there may be a nationwide epidemic of traumatic brain injury in survivors of domestic violence and what should be done about it. So please check that out in our podcast feed. And if you or someone you know is experiencing domestic violence, please go to onpointradio.org. We've got some resources there that could help. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.